And we are grateful that you are here. And let me just ask you a question. Are you here expecting a blessing? Bless God, hallelujah, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee. Are you sick today? Are you afflicted today? Is your nose running? Are you coughing? Are you smelling up the place? Do you have problems? You can be healed. You can be cured. You can be all better if you would just do what I tell you to do. I'll put none of these diseases upon you. And you know something? God tells you, bless God, hallelujah, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. And if you don't have your healing today, there's something wrong with you. If you don't have your healing today, you haven't been putting your money in the right place. You haven't been living the right kind of life. You've got secret sin that you haven't confessed. Bless God, hallelujah, if you're not healed today, it's your fault. Remember, old Peter, and wasn't Peter the first pope, and wasn't Peter the leader of the Church of Pentecost, and don't we believe the Church of Pentecost is where everything starts in our Bible? Bless God, hallelujah. Didn't old Peter say in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 that he bare our sins in his own body? Do you believe that? Bless God, hallelujah. That we, being dead to sins, should not live in the light and righteousness, and by whose stripes, bless God, hallelujah, we are healed. Now, bless God, hallelujah, have you got your healing today? If you don't have your healing today, bless God, hallelujah, here's what you need to do. You need to bring all your tithes into the storehouse. Now, the storehouse, that's not your bank book, that's not your 401k, that's not your Lexus out in the driveway. You need to bring the tithes to me. I'm the keeper of the storehouse. Bless God. Hallelujah. And you bring your tithes to me, and I will put them in the storehouse with God. And the Lord of hosts upstairs, bless God. Hallelujah. He will see that you have tried your faith, and he will pour you out a blessing. Do you believe it? Bless God. Hallelujah. Why don't you believe that Jesus Christ, bless God, hallelujah, is the same today, yesterday, and the forever? Why, he did it before, he'll do it again. And if he's not doing it for you, you got to get me the money, honey. You got to send me that green salad of salvation. You write your prayer request on the back of a $100 bill, and you send them to Brother McBible, and you get that money and that cards and letters in the mail. Bless God, hallelujah. I don't believe you've got faith if you're not sending the money to the storehouse. Now, I just proved to you that if preaching grace doesn't work out, I've got something I can fall back on. Amen? But as silly as that was, you do understand that goes on. And that kind of business is the currency of Christian radio and Christian television. We have one of the worst purveyors of it right here in Ohio with Rod Parsley. And there are any number of them scattered around the country. And rather than a ministry, they seem to be plucking the money off a money tree. And it is important for us to be able to help the victims. For you see, these purveyors of heresy, these charlatans and liars, are hurting people. And the hurt that they are doing is not anything that they, the healers, can do anything about. I can remember when my radio broadcast was playing and I was out at my Christian bookstore. This is quite a few years ago. And the broadcast back in those days came on at 8:30 in the morning and was off at 9. And so right after 9 o'clock, the phone rang. And it was one of my listeners to the radio broadcast, and she was crying her eyes out because she had been told by her Church of God pastor that the reason she was sick was her fault because of her sin life. And that poor woman was ready to commit suicide. She had MS. She had withered down to less than 100 pounds. She was unable to get out of her bed. She was wearing a diaper. She was unable to get herself around the house, and the preacher blamed her for that. And so, she was a victim. It was my privilege to sit down with that lady and her mom and teach them some Bible. Now, what I want to give you this evening is a list of Bible verses. I hope none of you took me seriously in the first 2 or 3 minutes there. I hope you all know me well enough to know that I was being tongue-in-cheek there just to make the point as to how it's done and how wrong it is when it is done. And now, what I want to do is run some verses. Now, in your Bible, nobody is sick until Exodus chapter 4. That's interesting to know. A lot of people die, but you don't know about anybody being sick in Genesis. And it isn't until the 4th chapter of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 4, let me read you 4 verses, starting with verse 6. Exodus chapter 4 in verse 6. And I want you to pay very close attention to signs and wonders as we go through this. And the Lord, now you see that third word in the verse, Lord, L-O-R-D is in all caps. That means that is Jehovah God. And so every time in your King James Bible, you see the 4 capital letters for the word Lord, that means that is the tetragrammaton, that is Jehovah God. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now, he's talking to Moses, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Now, that's the first illness that anybody suffers. And then in verse 7, he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and he plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as the other flesh. So Exodus chapter 4, verse 6 is the first infirmity in the flesh. Exodus chapter 4, verse 7 is the first healing. Exodus chapter 4, verse 8. And it shall come to pass, Exodus chapter 4, verse 8, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they believe the voice of the latter sign. Now, you know the law of first mention. I taught it to you here, and you already knew it probably before I taught it to you. But here is the first mention of signs and wonders and healings in your Bible. And here's what you need to see. It has a function. Do you see the function? The function is to cause the people to believe. He says, if they will not believe, neither hearken to the voice. The sign has a voice that is intended to get them to believe that Moses is Jehovah God's spokesman. It is very important that you see that. Look in verse 9. And it shall come to pass that they will not believe these 2 signs, nor hearken unto thy voice. What I want you to see in Exodus chapter 4, verse 9, is the signs have the function of getting people to pay attention to Moses as he speaks to Israel. And so in verse 9, it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these 2 signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take out of the water of the river and pour it on dry land, and the water that thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So he gives them yet and still another sign in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 9. So what I want you to see is the function of the sign and wonder had nothing to do with Moses getting sick or Moses getting healed. The function of the healing, the function of the sign, was specifically so that people would believe. Now, one law for all is put in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15, up on the screen. And you know what is interesting about that is Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15, God Jehovah, and you see the four capital L-O-R-D, promises to put none of the evil diseases of Egypt on Israel. It has nothing to do with anybody in the church, the body of Christ, 4,000 years later. And it is limited not to any old disease that anybody wants to get healed. It is limited to the evil diseases of Egypt. And when you read the similar passage in the book of Exodus, you will notice in Exodus chapter 15, in verse 26, that you have to keep the commandments and the statutes in order to get the healing. And since you are not under the law, there's no hope for you in keeping commandments or statutes. Now, I want to move on to another verse in Exodus chapter 4, in verse 30. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 30. I told you folks, by the way, there's a full moon tonight, and we already have some people in the room approving it to us, don't we? I say that tongue-in-cheekily. Now, Exodus chapter 4, in verse 30, you see another example of the function of signs and wonders and healings. In verse 30, Aaron spake all the words which the L-O-R-D, Jehovah, had given unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. So what is the function of the signs in sight of all the people? Exodus chapter 4, verse 31. Result, and the people believed. Now, I want you to get this. Signs and healings and wonders are to validate a man, a ministry, or a message. The people involved are not the issue. The issue is the man, this case it's Moses, the ministry, this case it's the law, and the ministry, this case it is to the tribes of Israel. And so you see in Exodus 4, verses 6 to 9, and Exodus 4, verses 30 to 31, signs are defined as far as their purpose is concerned. Amen. It's very important that you get this. Now, when most people want to talk about this issue, they want to talk about some anecdote. They want to tell you about their Aunt Hazel, who she was sick, and she bought a $28,000 grilled cheese sandwich off of eBay that had a picture of Mary on it, and she put that picture and that grilled cheese sandwich on her belly button, and her appendix got all better. They want to tell you anecdotes. They want to tell you stories. We need to take a deep breath because they want to tell their stories. They're just dying to tell their stories. Take a deep breath and eventually get back to the Bible. Now, I'm going to say something flippant here. You write it down and you think about it. But it is kind of a flippant saying, and I'm going to say it anyhow, and I don't mean to offend you, but here it goes. People will reject 100 Bible verses if they've got one experience that they want to go by. And you will see that happen, and you know they'll say, well, I was at the healing meeting, bless God, hallelujah, and I've seen it with my own eyes, bless God, hallelujah. First he had one arm longer than the other, and bless God, hallelujah. They poured some oil on him, and bless God, hallelujah, he's all better. And people will hold up one experience and reject 100 Bible verses. And that's kind of a smart-alecky thing for me to say, but I've witnessed it so many times. People will go by their experiences rather than believing the Word of God. And a lot of times, you will find people who are desperate for the experience because they're hurting, because they're in pain, because they are in pitiful condition. So let's not us be angry at them. Let us understand that they have a false hope and things are only going to get worse. We need to be there. And you know, for a lot of these people, and again, this is going to sound a little cynical, but for a lot of these people, you have to wait to catch them on first bounce. Because for a while, when they're getting the anointing and when they're going from meeting to meeting, and you know, they've been anointed so many times, they can't sit in the pew anymore. They slide right out onto the floor because they're so oily. They've been anointed so many times. Bless their hearts. Until they're ready to listen, they're not going to hear what you say. And so there's a good opportunity sometimes for you to have to exercise patience. And that patience can be hard to come by when you know you've got the answer and you know that they are flailing at the air. But meanwhile, tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. Let me continue with the lesson and get back on track here, since now that I've driven two or three drive-by shooters out of the room. We'll go to Exodus chapter 7 now, and we'll start in verse 3. God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Now, why is he multiplying signs and wonders? But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you. So apparently signs and wonders are to get people to hearken. But Pharaoh is going to be an exception. That I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people of the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by great judgments, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. How are they going to know that? By multiplied signs and wonders, and by Jehovah's great judgments against Israel, against Egypt, which were, as a matter of fact, signs and wonders. The frogs and the locusts and the blood and all of those things, and the death of the firstborn. So, once again, we now have a list of Bible verses that gives us three clear examples of the function of signs and wonders. And it is to get people to pay attention to the man, the ministry, and the message. Let's go at it again. In Exodus chapter 10, in verse 1. The Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart, and the heart of his servants, that I may show these my signs before him. So the signs are done, and God has hardened Pharaoh's heart, so Pharaoh's not going to believe the signs. The point that I want to make is not the problem with Pharaoh. It is not that at all. The point I want to make is God says his signs are meant to get a hold of people's hearts. And so he had to harden Pharaoh's heart, or else Pharaoh might have believed those signs. Now, again, as we go down through these passages, what I'm trying to get you to do is to make a list of these verses and to use them to help people. Now, there are over 100 of you who get my outlines each week. So you already have this list. And if you would like to get the outlines, all you need to do is email me, and I will be glad to send them to you. We're not like so many folks that copyright things and make it difficult for you to get them. I'd rather disseminate things as best as possible. Let's go again to Exodus chapter 10 in verse 1. No, Numbers chapter 14. I already did Exodus 10, and I'm reading the screen, and I lost track of where I need to be. Numbers chapter 14, verse 11. And the Lord, and again, you know, I need you to see that that's Jehovah God back there, the four capital letters, that's the Tetragrammaton. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? Do you see it? All of these signs that he has showed among them. The question is, why don't they believe me? I've done all these signs. I showed all these signs and wonders. Why don't they believe me? And so you see from Numbers chapter 14, verse 11, the function of signs is what? It is to engender belief in a man, a ministry, or a message. Next example, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 34. Or hath God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations, by signs and wonders? So how does God gather himself a nation? He attracts them by signs and wonders. That is meant to be an enticement to get their attentions. And by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and so on and so forth. Next example, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 22. The Lord showed, and I want you again to see in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 22, the word Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 22, the word Lord is the four capital letters. That is Jehovah God, the Tetragrammaton. Now, just as Jehovah God picked himself Moses to be his spokesman, don't you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, picked the Apostle Paul to be his spokesman. And so as long as you are dealing with the Jehovah's people, the nation Israel, under the law of Moses, you are seeing signs and wonders. The kingdom message is always associated with signs and wonders. Don't forget that. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 22, the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. Why did he do that? To make them a believer, to get their attention. Now I want to jump ahead to the book of Daniel. And in Daniel, in chapter 6, in verse 26, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men terrible and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He, verse 27, delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, and hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So, again you see signs and wonders. It has nothing to do with getting an offering. It has nothing to do with a prayer of faith. It has nothing to do with anointing oil. It is Jehovah God doing signs and wonders before the nation Israel to get their attention. Now let us fast forward to the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 24, in verse 24, when there are false Christs and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders. Why would they do that? They want to deceive the very elect, which, by the way, happens not to be Calvin's elect, but the elect nation Israel. God calls Israel mine elect. And if God calls Israel his elect, then when I read about the elect, I know who he is talking about, and that includes Romans 9, 10, and 11, as we studied a few months back. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, in verse 24, what then is the function of the lying signs and wonders of the false Christ? It is to attempt to validate the false Christ. It is attempt to validate the false prophet. Signs and wonders are not about the people who benefit from them. Amen. They are for validation of a man, a ministry, or a message. Notice it again in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 13, in verse 22. I must be driving Bill 247 crazy this evening by giving him wrong citations. False Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders. Function? To seduce, if it were possible, even the elect of Israel. And so they want to have fake credentials. Now, Jesus Christ had the legitimate credentials, and the false Christ and the false prophets want to have similar credentials so that they can fool people. It's not about the healing line. It's not about the seed faith and Oral Roberts, and it's not about a parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. It's not about T.D. Jakes and Benny Hinn demonstrating their power. It's God's way of validating a man, a ministry, or a message. Notice it again in Mark chapter 16, in verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief. So what does he give these people who have unbelief? He gives them signs and wonders, does he not? Because they had not believed them which had seen him after he was risen. They did not believe a sign or a wonder. And his resurrection is quite wondrous to behold. Look in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 3. He said unto him, Art thou he that should come? Now we need to slow down here, and I really want you to get this in your notes. Matthew chapter 3. He said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John the Baptist here isn't sure that Christ is the Messiah. John the Baptist is about to be murdered, and John the Baptist is in prison. And so the question is, are you really the Messiah? Verse 4, Matthew chapter 11, verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive the sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Now, folks, John the Baptist says, Are you the Christ? Jesus' answer is signs and wonders. They are what Jesus offers to validate who he is to John the Baptist. You have to see that. Now, I'm going to hit it again hard here in Luke chapter 7. And this is marvelous if you'll take your time and look at this and use this to help people. In Luke chapter 7, in verse 18, the disciples of John showed him all these things, and John called two of his disciples unto him in verse 19. Luke chapter 7, verse 19. And he sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Look at Luke chapter 7, verse 19. John called two of his disciples. John's locked up. He calls two of his disciples, and he sent them to Jesus, and he sent them with this question. Art thou he that should come? Are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? Or look we for another? Verse 20. When the men were come in unto him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? So you see in Luke chapter 7, verse 20, the two disciples of John the Baptist faithfully ask the question of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they are not there trying to get anybody healed. They are not there trying to get anybody's miracle signs or wonders. They are there asking Jesus, Are you the Christ? Are you the one that should come? Or look we for the Messiah someplace else? Now notice the Lord's response in Luke chapter 7 in verse 21. Jesus doesn't say anything to him, but in Luke chapter 7 verse 21, in that same hour, he, Christ, cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Now, folks, if you were one of the blind people there, you went home saying hallelujah. If you were one of the people there that had the infirmity or had the plague, you went home saying hallelujah. And yet, Jesus is doing this to answer John the Baptist's question, Are you the Messiah, or do we look for another? So, in the same hour, Jesus doesn't respond to the two disciples with words. He goes out and does some healing, some signs, and some wonders. You need to see that. Now, in Luke chapter 7 and verse 22, then Jesus said, so first he does all these miracles. Then Jesus answering said unto them, so now the Lord's going to respond to the disciples of John. And he says to them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. And then he recounts them. So the answer when John the Baptist sends his disciples to find out if Jesus Christ is in fact the Messiah, the answer is given by signs and wonders. Now, I say this to you, and I don't want to be offensive to you, but the people that got healed were not the issue. The people that got their sight restored, they were glad, but they were not the issue. The people that had their infirmities healed, they were glad, but they were not the issue. The issue was answering John the Baptist. The issue was, it was validating a man, a ministry, and a message, in this case, the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to see that. Now, folks, this is teachable. We can help people with this by showing them these verses. And verse 22, first Jesus in verse 21 heals some people, and then in verse 22, he says, "Now you go tell John what things ye have seen and heard, and how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised." You know, that had to be the most surprised guy in town. And he didn't have enough faith to get the dead raised. Jesus raised him up. And to the poor, the gospel is preached. What's going on is Jesus is answering a question of identity of the man, the ministry, and the message by signs, wonders, and healings. Now, I've shown that to you in Matthew chapter 11. I've shown that to you in Luke chapter 7. And I want you to just kind of back away and think for a minute. Why did I start way back in Exodus and give you Exodus 4, 6 to 9, Exodus 4, 30 and 31, Exodus 7, 3 to 5, Exodus 10, 1, and Numbers 14, 11, and then go to Deuteronomy 4, 34? Why did we go through all those verses before we really address the issue? The answer is, you have to define the terms and show people what is going on and why it is going on to wean them away from their emotionalism and their experiential Christianity and to get them into the Bible. Now, there's a tendency to take people immediately to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and tell them, well, this doesn't happen anymore. And they just give you a hard time or glaze over and don't see. And when you see that, then, all of a sudden, some of the scales can fall from our eyes, and we say, I understand now that Israel requires a sign. And since there is no Israel, there would not be a valid function for signs. And we are not people who need to validate who Christ is. We've got our Bibles.
Amen.
Now, I know in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 22, the Jews require a sign. And I know, for example, in 1 Corinthians 14, 22, tongues are for a sign. And by the way, 1 Corinthians 14, 22, tongues are for a sign, underline it, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. So, the appropriate venue for tongues would be the shopping mall, the grocery store, and not the Pentecostal church meeting. The appropriate venue, if tongues are viable, would be where you find the unbelievers, not where you find the believers. But our dear Pentecostal friends avoid a lot of Bible verses and play Bible hopscotch. They're like Bible butterflies, flitting from verse to verse, or even from part of a verse to part of a verse. We know some things, and tonight, by the way, we will be going through nearly 70 Bible verses in tonight's study. Now, the speed limit is 60 verses an hour, so we're about 10 verses over the speed limit tonight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says in verse 12, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you. So there are signs associated with being an apostle. In signs and wonders, 2 Corinthians 12, 12, and mighty deeds. Now, Paul says that because here he is validating his own apostleship to members of unsaved, circumcised Israel who don't believe that he is. So, we continue to see the function of signs, wonders, including healings, is to validate a man, a ministry, or a message. If you get healed, you know what I would suggest you do? Thank God for it. And if you don't get healed, you know what I would suggest you do? Thank God for it. Amen. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If we weren't so selfish, if we weren't such wimps, we would act more like the crucified people that we like to say that we are. But rather than being silent as a dead man would be silent, we squall and cry, and how it must sound on the other side of the clouds, in the third heaven, when God has instructed us in everything to give thanks, how it must sound to our loving God when he hears us, "Oh, please heal me. Oh, please help me." And we just cry like a two-year-old. Why, two-year-olds aren't as bad as most of our prayer lists. And when you get out the prayer list from your back of your Bible, if it reads as a shopping list, then shame on you. You don't have grace understanding. You need to realize that in all things and everything, God is doing above Ephesians 3:20, what we ask or think. Romans 8:26, we know not what to pray for as we ought. Romans 8:28, we know also about how all things are working together for good. We should stop complaining. We should stop whining. We should stop being so selfish. We should endeavor to be the soldier that God says he has made us in Christ Jesus. And then in everything, give thanks. Thankfulness is a mark of a Christian. If you're looking for the will of God, God says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, that it is his will that men be saved, all men, and come to the knowledge of the truth. If you're looking for the will of God, then you ought to be evangelistic, and you ought to be engaged in edification. Further, if you are looking for the will of God, God plainly says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that it is the will of God that we be thankful. Now, signs and wonders are about the flesh, are about the outer man. Healing is about the flesh. It's about the outer man. Let me make a point to you, and again, this is going to be one of my sarcastic remarks that gets people very upset with me, but, you know, one of the problems with me is I speak entirely too plainly. The problem with Pentecostalism, charismaticism, and most church teachers is it's all about the outer man. And what we ought to be strengthening is the inner man.
Amen.
They have it backwards. It's all about feelings and healings, when it ought to be about edification and service. So the church world at large has it backwards. I love when they complain about Paul and the boys in Acts chapter 17, and their complaint is, here comes those guys that turn the world upside down. Well, the world is upside down, so I think Paul and Barnabas and the boys were straightening it up and getting it the way it needed to be. We are surrounded by people who wouldn't go to church at all if they didn't think they were going to get something out of it. We are surrounded by people who put the money in the plate only because they think that leverages God to give them a whole bunch back. And so you need to see that. You need to understand. And how important it is to realize grace has a different standard, a different motivation, a different worldview, a different self-view, a different relationship to other members of the body of Christ than the law program as is weak and beggarly. Now, signs not only were for the validation of a man, a ministry, or a message, signs have an end point. The Bible identifies that signs are temporary. Now, you know the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, about things ceasing and vanishing away. Well, I want to point you to Ephesians chapter 4. And in verse 11 in Ephesians chapter 4, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Notice the third word in verse 11, gave. And so you could say the apostles had signs. They were gifted. And they were gifts from God to the transition church. No question about that. Notice verse 12, the function of the apostles and the prophets. Now, you can't pick and choose from that list. You can't say, well, we got pastors and teachers today and we don't have the others. They are all in one package in that verse. Either you have them all or you don't have any of them. And notice that their function, number one, it's past tense. He gave. It doesn't say he's giving or he will give. He gave some apostles and prophets and some evangelists the function for the perfecting of the saints. But notice verse 12 does not end with a period. It ends with a colon. So then we read on in verse 13. Till. Now the first word in verse 13 tells you that there is a point at which the gifting is over. The gave of apostles and prophets and all of that, there is a point in which that comes to a screeching halt. And verse 13 identifies that point. And that is when everybody knows the revelation of the mystery. When the revelation of the mystery is out there, and we all have the unity of the faith, we have the knowledge of the Son of God, we have the ability to be that perfect man because the revelation of the mystery is complete, the information is in place, there's an end game. And the word till identifies it for you. It is important to recognize that. It is important to recognize that the folks that are wallowing around in Acts chapter 2 will deny that Acts chapter 2's tongues are languages when they are. And when you read the languages and the countries listed, and we'll just skip this part of the outline, Acts chapter 2 verses 4 to 14, you can't miss it unless you've already decided that you're going to miss it because you don't want to see what it says. The truth is, if we can slow people down and show them the function of signs and wonders and healings in the Bible and edify them about their purpose, then they will begin to understand why their hope may be a false one, while their prayer may be vain, while their anointing may be a waste of time. And when we bought this church that we're in here in Xenia, Ohio, we bought it from the Church of God, Church of Christ and Christian Union, CCCU. And they're largely a Bible Belt church, a little bit in Ohio, a little bit in Kentucky, a little bit in Indiana, a little bit in Tennessee, and that about covers it. And it's a lovely building we have here. If you've seen it on the website, you know we've got a nice functional cinder block building, and we're very pleased with it. And when we bought the place from them and moved in, there was a bottle of anointing oil in every room in this building. Yeah. Now, I don't know who anoints who in the bathroom, but there was anointing oil in the bathroom. There was anointing oil in the nursery where the children are. There was anointing oil in each classroom. There was anointing oil up here in the office. There was anointing oil. There were three different bottles of anointing oil in the pulpit that they had here. There was anointing oil. These had to be some slippery people. And these people had to be, it was an older crowd, and so maybe because they're older, you know, they got arthritis and a whole lot of other things, and so they're just anointing the daylights out of everybody. And meanwhile, they sold the church. Apparently something didn't work. Now, one of our men it was in the hospital since November the 2nd on Election Day, and he just passed away last week. He was in the hospital all of November and all of December and half of January, and in all of the times we visited him, and we must have visited him, what, 20 times, 30 times? All of the times we visited him, we never saw anybody healing anybody in that great big Miami Valley hospital. And, you know, it's just amazing to me that the real world is not allowed to exist in the Pentecostal mentality. They have to conjure up a world that isn't real. They conjure it up by waving their hands at the fluorescent bulbs, by getting emotional, by falling down, by being starstruck when old Benny Hinn comes up. You know, when Benny Hinn takes the stage, you know what they play every time he comes through those curtains? And everybody sings as he comes before them, "How great thou art." And old Benny Hinn, he just relishes that. And yes, he's an entertainer, and yes, he's showbiz, and a lot of people are hurt by him. A lot of people are victimized by him and a lot of others just like him. The fact, brothers and sisters, is these are people that need help. People that are hurting. People that are crying. People that are in pain. And for them to have their doctrine work, they have to create a circus atmosphere to trick people and to get psychosomatic illnesses cured and to get people fooled. It's as bad as professional wrestling. As a matter of fact, Benny Hinn and professional wrestling and the healers and all of that, they have a lot in common. They are taking advantage of largely uneducated or illiterate people. They are taking advantage of people that are not schooled in the Bible. They are taking advantage of people, and that's shameful. I can remember, and I was in my Christian bookstore, and it was a slow time. I was the only person in the store. In came a pastor and his wife. The dear lady, she was a sweetheart. She walked over to the counter and said, "Brother Terry, I need to buy myself a large print Bible. You know, I'm getting older," she said to me, "and I need bigger print." At which point, her husband, who had been browsing and looking at books, came over to his wife and said, "Oh, honey, bless God, hallelujah, I'm going to heal you. Out, you demon of getting old, out." And he just made a game of it. And he was just doing his carnival act that he gets away with in church on Sunday. He was just playing with it in my Christian bookstore. And I said to him, "Charles, that's not funny." And that's the last time I ever saw him and the last time I ever saw his wife. As a matter of fact, I about had to get a bill collector to get him to pay his bill. So there are a lot of crooks in the business. There are a lot of sincere people who are sincerely wrong. Never forget you are dealing with people on an issue about which they are emotionally attached. They are hurting. They've got the cancer. They've got the broken bones. They've got the problems. And so they are very oriented toward flesh needs. And they are hurting. Remember that. For them, it's not simply doctrine. For them, it's not simply Bible. It's going to take doctrine to help them. It's going to take Bible to get them straightened around so they understand what is going on. But it's going to take some patience and forbearance on your part. Amen. Before they're ready to listen. They won't know what you've got to say until they figure out that you love them, till they figure out that you care, till they figure out that you're trying to do them a good thing. So, I've skipped a few little bits of the message this evening that were in the notes that I sent out to you. Meanwhile, we've covered enough of the material, and hopefully you got the idea that in your Bible, tongues, signs, wonders, and healings are all about validating the man, the ministry, and the message. I really want to emphasize to you to take the time to run the verses and to show the people, starting clear back in Exodus, and I want you to emphasize Luke chapter 7. And there you see the Lord Jesus Christ healing people, raising people from the dead, and it's only to validate who He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is for the benefit of John the Baptist.
Amen.
Folks, that is practical. That will teach. That will help people. Now, if you get better, thank God. If you get worse, thank God. The worst thing that can happen to you is better than the best thing that ever happened to somebody in hell. You are so far ahead. In everything, give thanks. And remember, you have a verse that is better than being able to get what you asked for. You say, what could be better than getting what I asked for? Getting Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, what God has for you. Getting what God has for you. Because what God has for you is better than you could even ask or think. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. So I mean to be an encouragement to you that maybe have infirmities in the flesh. I know there are some people in the room this evening that do. And meanwhile, more to my point is that you are equipped with the verses, so then you are able to help other people. Now, it is our privilege this evening to be the number one room on Pal Talk.
Amen.
There are 57 of you here right this instant. And that means that we now have 57 locations where help can be offered to people that are hurting.
Amen.
And every one of you has a list of verses and has a heart to try to be of help to other people that have been lied to by the charlatans and the faith healers. Those of you that were here the first 5 minutes when I did my Benny Hinn routine and when I faked being a faith healer, you know there are a lot of people that would hear that and believe what I said and be victimized, and it would just be crooked as a dog's hind leg. It is so wonderful to be able to help people. That dear lady who had MS and her pastor had told her she couldn't rise up and walk because of unconfessed sin in her life. I'm so glad her pastor was gone by the time I got to her house. But I must tell you, it was a privilege to be able to explain what was going on. I received a letter from a radio listener. And this lady, now I've gotten to know a little bit, but at the time I did not know her at all. She heard me say something about healing signs and wonders on the radio broadcast. And so she sent me a letter. And I explained some things to her about infirmities in the flesh. The letter I got back from her is one I'll not forget. She thanked me because, you see, she had breast cancer and she thought God was trying to chastise her and that God was angry at her. And so she did not understand. And by the grace message, she now has had her cancer surgery. She now is doing just fine, and she understands God wasn't mad at her. We live on a sin-cursed earth, and bad things happen. So, we can minister peace when we minister grace.
Amen.
We can minister understanding when we minister grace.
Amen.
Let me say one more thing. We're not trying to win a debate. We're not trying to scream and out-scream the host Keiths of this world. What we're trying to do is help folks.